FTN Fast Break Podcast, Thursday, December 5th, 2024, episode 27. What is going on, everybody? Welcome in, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kweisenberg DFS, joined once again by my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, how you doing?
I'm good. I am excited for this episode, going through some mid-season awards, and we have... I'm starting to think like the Thursday games are becoming the best games each week for football, and we have a great one tonight. So this is right around the time where I start to get like in a better mood because nobody's in a good mood Monday. Tuesday, it's like, all right, once we hit Thursday, I'm like, all right, I'm starting to feel better about everything. Yeah. So I'm feeling good.
Well, that's good to hear. And look, we have, you know, we're going to go through those, I guess, kind of quarter season award ballots here. Right? I think every team but the Wizards has played at least 20 games here of the 82. So the Wizards, they just won. They're playing out the string already, man. 2-17, losers of 15 straight. Before we hit record, you and I are talking about...
How come nobody's talking? Everybody wanted to make a huge deal of the Cavs winning streak. This is equally as impressive.
Yeah, well, you know... We have seen in the recent past the massive losing streaks, right? Detroit last year, right? So we are still a couple losses away from beginning to talk about that. But yeah, it is as designed right now in Washington. But let's put the lowly Wizards in the past.
We'll be talking about them today. Yeah. No. Sadly.
Let's talk about the group stage finale that we had on Tuesday. Of course, on Monday's episode, we kind of previewed that night. And look, I gotta tell you, Adam, like I wasn't just disappointed because my favorite team lost and looked pretty terrible themselves. Like none to me. None of the quote unquote important games, right? Those like the win and get ins, the top of the group type of games. None of those were very entertaining, I think, from a third party standpoint.
My picks were awful too. I had San Antonio. I had Orlando's. Not good. Orlando, that game was over very quickly.
Dude, the first two in the East were just such a disappointment because I think Detroit got exposed a little bit. Like Milwaukee, like you said this to me before we started recording here today. The Milwaukee are playing like adults again, and I agree. Like, are they the best team in the league or in the East? No, but 11-10, 8-2 in their last 10 games. Like, they're up into the 5 seed now out East.
How crazy is that, by the way? Like, if you told me Milwaukee went on an 8-2 stretch and they'd be 11-10, I'd be like,
yeah,
that doesn't really compute. It doesn't add up.
They were missing Giannis for the beginning of the season or something, right? And speaking of the Bucks, Chris Middleton will make his season debut tomorrow on Friday, so my best ball teams are very much looking forward to Middleton being active and hopefully, fingers crossed, staying healthy. But they beat the Bucks beat the Pistons 128-107 in front of a sparse crowd, might be putting it nicely, but that game was a blowout right from the rip. You mentioned the Magic and the Knicks in the Garden 121-106. That game really wasn't as close as that score indicates. Like, it was never really in the balance after the first quarter. Then we get the Western Conference games later in the evening. Spurs go down 104-93 at the hands of the Suns. And not just the Suns, Adam, but without Kevin Durant in the second half, San Antonio set a franchise record for made threes in the game prior with 23. 8 of 44 in this must-win game. 3 of 31 from their starting five. You talk about Detroit maybe getting exposed a little bit. I think the San Antonio Spurs did here as well. Their defense was fine. The offense was repugnant.
I blame you and myself. We talked them up too highly on Monday. Way too highly.
And then the Thunder just take care of business. They dust the Utah Jazz 133-106. That game was, I think, closer to 40 points at the end of the third quarter there. And then, like, the best game on the night for me, because it did actually get the Mavericks through in the Western Conference wildcard spot. The Mavericks come into the fourth quarter down by 13 against the Grizzlies, 39-21 in that fourth quarter for the 121-116 victory. Dallas gets the win. Dallas gets the wild card spot. And so now we are set up for the NBA Cup knockout rounds. These start on Tuesday of next week, so December 10th and December 11th. The only two games those nights in the league are the first knockout game. So I don't know, man. We were looking at this bracket. I think this, on paper, all four of these games look awesome to me. I am very excited for these quarterfinal round matchups. In the West, you've got the Thunder hosting the Mavericks. So a rematch of last year's Western Conference semifinals, two of the best teams in the conference. And then you've got the Rockets hosting the Warriors in the 2-3 game out West, which I think two teams that we are pleasantly surprised by for various reasons on both sides. Both of those teams, I think, we consider to be good teams. And then in the East, kind of the same thing, like Bucks and Magic. The Bucks are the one seed here at 11-10, hosting the Magic. Of course, they will have, you would think, Chris Middleton there for this game. Paolo Banchero won't be back yet for the Magic. And then you have Knicks and Hawks, and maybe the Hawks are the team you can say are like the team that, quote unquote, doesn't belong. But like, I don't know, man, they are also over 500 now. They've won five straight. They're humming along. And even if we say that they are the worst team of this group of eight, Trae Young going back to the Garden, like, sign me up.
Yeah. Even if this is just like the third regular season game of the season, this would be more than just, I think, a game for Trae Young. And we've talked about the team. I like this team. They beat Cleveland twice. I don't think that's, you know, I don't think they're better than Cleveland, but like they can play with any team right now with some of the depth pieces they've had. Obviously, Dyson Daniels has been massive. I might be almost equally as excited for that game as the other ones, despite the, you know, more of the top upper echelon tiers in the other games. Just the Trae Young factor. Plus, I just, you know, we'll talk about one of his teammates a little bit. Like there's a reason there's been excitement for that team.
Absolutely. So Tuesday night, of course, we will have our next episode of the Fast Break on Monday. So we'll talk a little bit more about these games, but the 1-4 matchup. So on Tuesday night, you get Magic and Bucks, 7 p.m. Eastern, then 9:30. Mavs and Thunder, Wednesday, Hawks and Knicks at 7, and Warriors and Rockets at 9:30. So let's go ahead, unless you have anything else to add on the NBA Cup, let's go ahead and get to our quarter season awards. So we're just going to start with our MVP picks here. So again, if we had ballots, how we would cast them through the first quarter of the season. Let's talk about some of the odds here too, from a betting perspective for MVP right now on DraftKings Sportsbook as of the morning of Thursday, December 5th. Jokic plus 160 leading the way. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plus 340. Jason Tatum in third plus 500. Then Giannis plus 750 and Luka 12-1. Who's your pick right now for MVP, Adam?
Yeah, it's not close. It's Jokic. I don't understand how he keeps having seasons better than his previous MVP seasons, but he's doing it again. Like, he's giving you the triple-double, but then he's averaging like 26 points per game. And obviously we know the value portion of the discussion. Like, there's nobody more valuable. Like, you take him off the floor. I think this season their like offensive rating drops by like 30 when he's off the floor. And then when he's on the floor, it's like 125. Just absurd. I don't care if there's anybody that actually does have a vote that experiences some sort of voter fatigue because I know this team isn't the top three seed in the West like they were previous seasons, but there's clearly flaws in this team. And without Jokic, this would be, I don't know, would they be down there with like Portland? Probably, maybe. I don't know if they'd be that bad, but they'd be bad. I don't really think it's close. I understand if you want to make arguments for Shai for seeding purposes or Tatum. I think I would probably have Tatum second, but it's not close. It's Jokic.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, I've heard impassioned arguments for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a similar case to be made for Giannis and how he's buoying the Bucks team.
Yeah, they're clearly the top four, like pretty obviously.
Well, I think like if you're looking for the value here, if you're not going Jokic at plus 160, it's probably going all the way down to Luka at plus 1200 because I think he was the favorite coming into.
Dude, he's been the favorite for like three straight years, and
I know.
Like, I feel like we're so spoiled with all the talent in the NBA that the fact that Luka hasn't won one yet is kind of crazy.
Yeah, sure.
But that's just where we're at, and then you just can't. You can't be historically one of the greatest offensive players of all time and then continue to be more efficient and just better after winning multiple MVPs. Like, I don't care about how many he's won. Like, you have to give the MVP to somebody that's doing what he's doing right now. So
yeah, and it's MVPs in three of the last 4 years, right? Second place in the year you didn't get it, and potentially some, like, I'm not going to get into the argument of did Embiid deserve it that year. He was great. But to your point, improving across the board, right? Career high 30.1 points per game. Second highest average right now in terms of rebounds per game in his career. He was 13.8 back in his second MVP season, 21-22, but he's at 13 rebounds per game. That's 2.2 above his career average. He is at a career high 10.4 assists per game. So like you mentioned, averaging the triple-double, he's at a career high in steals. He is tying his career high in blocks right now, shooting 56% from the floor. This is maybe the most standout, incredible, amazing thing to me. 52.2% from three on a career high 4.3 attempts per game. That is not nothing. That is shooting more than four threes a game for Jokic at 52.2%. I just, again, I it's not a knock to SGA and what he's done. It's not a knock to the continued excellence of Jason Tatum. What Giannis has doing, putting Milwaukee on his back. But there's just, Jokic is in his own tier again, and he is carving out, he is taking what we previously thought was his ceiling and demolished it, like exploded it. It is gone. I don't want to put any sort of expectation on him because I feel like he's just going to exceed it.
Yeah. If you're looking for those advanced metrics, he leads the league in value over replacement, plus minus, offensive plus minus, offensive win shares, PER. He's top five in points, rebounds, and assists per game. He's, I don't know, like, where would you rank him real quick? Like, even at this stage, I don't want to say even at this stage because it's not like he's, you know, 22 or something, but like, he's still going to play for a long time, hopefully. Like, where does he rank all time of among at least offensive players? Like, probably five, I mean, best I've ever seen.
I don't even think we should say just offensive players. Because how many three-time MVPs are there?
Right.
You can count on one hand. Like, and he has the championship. He's got the three MVPs. And he might not win another title because of the way things are going with the cap sheet there in Denver. But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like at the end, when all is said and done on the career of Jokic, like, he's in the Tim Duncan range, I think.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, like, too, when I kind of, like, thought about it.
The longevity, right, I think is still with Duncan. But Jokic is 29 years old.
He also, Jokic doesn't really miss games either.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, man. Like, again, it can be a little bit exasperating for me, especially to make that kind of comparison. But
like, I don't remember seeing somebody, and like, I'm sure there's been comps of like Sabonis, but I wasn't really old enough to watch him. But like, I don't remember, not counting like guys like LeBron, really, who in my opinion is the greatest player I've ever seen. Like, I don't remember seeing somebody that just looks like they aren't even trying on offense and just controlling every aspect of the game and doing it seamlessly like Jokic does. It's absurd.
I think there's one guy who maybe down the road we're speaking about in similar terms.
Stephon Castle, right?
Yeah. That's the favorite for defensive player of the year. Victor Wembanyama -190 this morning on DK Sports.
This is going to be the new Rudy Gobert, isn't it? Where he's just going to win every year. But actually, people won't get mad about it in certain years, probably.
Yeah. Well, then maybe they will just because they want somebody else to win, their favorite player or what have you. But for the foreseeable future.
Wemby's the worst, by the way, because Evan Mobley will now not ever win this award. Ever.
Yeah, well,
and it
we'll
sucks.
See
ya. But yeah, Wemby's the chalk, right? I mean, I was looking at, like, obviously his, I think, like 47% at the rim or within 6 feet when he's defending a shot. It's obviously incredibly low. But then you look at, I was looking at deflections per game, and obviously at the top you have guys like Dyson Daniels, Caruso, De'Aaron Fox, OG. Yep. There's only three centers in the top, like, 40 in deflections per game. Wemby, Jokic, and Bam. And Wemby's, like, seventh in the NBA. Like, he's averaging, like, 3.5 deflections per game on top of all the, you know, he's essentially, like, a free safety out there. His recovery time's stupid. Yeah, he's going to win this award pretty easily this year. And, I don't know, 6 years from now, he's probably going to have five of these at the very least, so.
Look, he is a one-man top six defensive unit by himself. Like, I was thinking about this the other day, and so I wanted to run this past you. Haven't told you I was going to ask you this. But, like, you and I are drafting five players right now from across the entire NBA, and we have to say we're just playing one game, and we have to win it for, I don't know, you know, for the championship, whatever. How many picks are you going before you draft him?
Still think Jokic is the best player in the world.
I agree. I think there's an argument for two.
That's what I'm saying. Like, my initial thought was, like, it could be two.
Yeah, but, like...
Because, like, if... We talked about it last episode about this ridiculous three-point shooting streak, but then you have the defense. Like, I don't know, man. If you went two, I wouldn't call you crazy.
Right.
And that's not a knock on the guys like Luka and Shea and those players that you would pass on.
Tatum, et cetera. Yeah, Giannis. Oh,
I don't think it's
right?
close
like,
between Tatum and Wemby, by the way.
Sure. Well, and I'm not – I don't think so either. If we're doing that exercise, right, where I'm just picking a five-man unit, I don't know who else you would get to try to counter Jokic at the 101 other than Wemby on the other side. Because then you're risking a Jokic-Wemby team up if you let him slide. So either way, I thought that was just – it's a silly little exercise. But again, I think it highlights just how impactful he is because you have the offensive the explosive offensive upside, but you know that defense is going to travel wherever.
I wanted to give a shout-out to Mobley.
Yeah, fourth in the odds right now. Plus
he's like 48% defended field goal percentage within 6 feet. Yeah. I'm watching these games and like – obviously, he's getting, like, multiple blocks per game like he always does. But teams are, like, they look like they have lanes of the basket, and then they panic when he's at the rim. Like, it's he's we know he's – I think you can make the case he's the second-best defensive player in the world. I really think he's that good. And then I wanted to give a shout to Jalen Williams, too. I don't think it's being talked about enough that I would probably pick J-Dub if it weren't for Wemby over Mobley, and that's saying a lot. Just because what he can do as a perimeter defender, and then being asked to play small ball five as much as he has this season. I was looking at those defended field goal percentage metrics from within 6 feet of the basket, and obviously you see, you know, I mentioned the stats with Mobley and with Wembanyama. Dude, Jalen Williams, despite being, what, 6'8", 6'9", at maybe not even that?
Yeah.
47% at the rim when he's defending, like... And then you look at some of the advanced metrics in terms of, like, defensive plus minus. He's top five in a lot of those metrics. So I would actually pick Jalen Williams if Victor Wembanyama was not in the NBA. So I wanted to shout out J-Dub as well.
J-Dub listed 6'6", 220.
Yeah, so I was being insanely generous.
You were being generous, yeah. So let's move on here. Rookie of the year. Right now, your favorite, I think unsurprisingly, Jared McCain of the Sixers.
Mine is McCain, but I put for now because I think San Antonio could have two awards this year.
I don't disagree with you. And I
dude, they've had
say,
pretty good on-off splits when Wemby and Chris Paul are off and Stephon Castle's on. Like, they haven't been bad at all.
Yeah, no. And
if he starts shooting a little bit better, we could have a discussion pretty soon.
Yeah, and he's had stretches where he has shot just fine, but the awful start to the year, and then again, he has had some ups and downs since entering the starting lineup, but they have a winning record with him in the starting lineup, and again, that has been without, with the exception of last game, without Jeremy Sochan. Half of those games have been without Devin Vassell. Two of those games were without Victor Wembanyama. We'll get another one of those tonight, and I think in the betting markets, that's the best value on the board right now for Rookie of the Year. McCain's minus 165. Dalton Connect plus 400, but Steph Castle at plus 800. Richaché in fourth plus 1600. So it's kind of a three-man race at this point. I think Dalton Connect has maybe won the Lakers two games this year just based on his explosive offensive performances. But I think when we get to the end of the year, I don't think Jared McCain, even though I also have him as my pick through the first quarter of a season, he's averaging like 16-2-2. It's not like that is, oh, we'll wrap it up. Mm-hmm. We have to give Jared McCain, especially because they're not winning. They're 5-15. And on a team like that, especially when you've been missing Embiid, you've been missing Paul George and the like, right? You missed Maxey for a little while, which is why McCain took off in the first place. Somebody has to score. So to me, this, I would rather in the betting market, take Steph Castle at 8-1. I think he is the one of those three that will contribute the most to actually winning games when all is said and done. But I also don't hate Connect. I would take Connect or Castle in the betting market before I, you know, laid the juice there on McCain at minus 165.
What a weird season, too, when the first two picks of the draft aren't even really part of the discussion.
Yep. Yeah, in the distant fourth there for Richache. And wild. Of course, Sarr even further down. So you've got, pick 17 for McCain, I think, because Ware was 15, if I recall correctly. So pick 17, pick 16, and pick 4 leading the way in the odds right now. Anything else for you on the rookie race?
Nope, I agree with you that I think there's a very good chance, you know, 2 months from now, Castle is leading this vote.
Moving on to most improved
right now. This is the best one.
Yeah, Franz Wagner's leading the way in the odds, plus 150. Then your boy J-Dub, plus 500. Jalen Johnson, so a pair of Jalens there, Jalen Johnson, plus 700. The injured LaMelo Ball, 11-1. Dyson Daniels, plus 1,300. So what do you got here? I see in your notes, discussion, .. So let's have one.
So it depends how you define the award.
Sure.
And this is always the case with most improved. Is it the player who's had the largest increase in stats and usage? Because that's usually what it comes down to, right? It's a lot of the time.
It's what people look for first, right?
Ja won the award 1 year. Like, mm-hmm. So LaMelo, to me, it's like, I get it. He's having a career season. Yeah. But is he really improved? Like, this is who he's been. He's always been incredibly talented.
Right.
Franz, I think, should be the favorite, although, obviously, the usage. He leads the NBA in field goal attempts right now. Not per game, but just overall. Mm-hmm. He's been, obviously, great. He's an all-star. He would start for me on the all-star team if I was making an all-star team for the East. Still needs to improve the shooting. But I think defensively is where he's been much improved and really good. So, I think Franz would be my vote, but I have so many players that I love down towards the bottom. I was looking at the odds, like, where the hell is Tyler Hero? He's been so good this season. And I talked about him last week, but he is right now, in terms of, you know, some of his stats, career highs. He's got the highest PER of his career pretty comfortably, highest true shooting percentage at 62%. Points per game, I think, is right around a career high. I think he's at 24 right now. 25 is a career high. He's been efficient. I talked about the combination with him and Bam with the dribble handoffs, and Tyler Hero's been insane. Like, he's towards the top of the NBA in points per game off handoffs, but he's been incredibly efficient too. Right now he is shooting 51% off handoffs. He's been awesome. And again, on a team that's been, you know, limping a little bit out of the gate, Tyler Hero's been the best player in the Miami Heat. So I like Hero a lot. I also don't hate Benedict Mathurin, who's underrated in this award. He's been scoring a little bit better, rebounding better. I don't think he's going to win the award, but this is my favorite award to talk about because there's so many players that are deserving, and it also depends on how you define the award. But I thought the value of Tyler Hero all the way down there was probably my favorite.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout for sure. The one thing that I'm certain of is I can't get with Franz, like plus 150. I would stay away from that.
Because what happens if Paolo comes? Well, when Paolo comes back, and if Franz hopefully is playing fine? But
I just don't think he's like. Look, has he had some big games?
He's had some really inefficient games too, though.
Well, he's been inefficient. That's the name of the game,
right?
Franz Wagner the last 2 years, man. Like, okay, he's brought his 3-point percentage back up on 1.5 more attempts per game. He was 28.1% from three last year. That's still 32.7% from three this year on a career high 6.1 attempts, career high 18.8 field goal attempts, right? Still just 33 minutes. So he's picking up a lot of the usage from the absent Paolo Banchero. But Adam, it's career low from the floor. It's his second worst year so far shooting the three ball. He's below his career averages with that number. 87% from the free throw line. That is above his career averages slightly, but 24 points, 5.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists. That's great, but like, and they're winning. So I get it.
Does that matter though for most improved?
It does for me, dude, because I'm looking at Jalen Johnson. That would be my pick because to me, and
I'm saying, does winning matter? Like, is that really
I
something?
Think it's a, it's some combination of winning and the efficiency, and I think you need the significant statistical increase.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be enough of that around the league where what are we really doing if we're not rewarding that statistical jump? And again, then we can banter and argue and discuss about why those increases happened. Was it the player actually improving, or was it just, you know, getting more opportunity, more minutes, right? And like for me on Jalen Johnson, he is playing more minutes, but right around just 2.5 more per game. He was 33.7 minutes per game last season. He's a hair over 36 per game this season, taking on more usage, right? His shot attempts per game are up by 3.3. He's up by 0.9 3-point attempts per game. He's up 4.1 points per game in his average, averaging just over 20 points per game. He's up career high rates in his rebounds, 10 rebounds a game. 5.5 assists is almost 2 more assists per game than last season. Career highs in steals, career highs in blocks. He's shooting 36%, a career high, from 3 on a career high 4.5 attempts per game. So like everything is up across the board for Jalen Johnson. He does a little bit of everything for this Hawks team that is now on their 5-game win streak, 12-11, sitting at 6th in the East. For a team that, as I document well on this show frequently, they do not control their first round picks for the next 3 years. So what is happening in Atlanta right now is very, very good for that franchise. And I think it is juiced the engine of this run that Atlanta is on, for lack of a better term, is Jalen Johnson stepping into that number two role, or I would even go as far as to say a 1B role next to Trae Young with the departure of DeJounte Murray.
Players averaging more touches per game than Jalen Johnson this season: Jokic, Halliburton, Cade, end of list.
Yep.
Jalen Johnson's averaging 93.6 touches per game. Trae Young, you want to guess how many he's averaging?
92.
93.5.
Okay.
So even split it there. Is. So when you said 1A, 1B, it's like, that's kind of what it says. And like sometimes people say, okay, is he really most improved, or is he just getting more opportunities? But like touches per game is more of a work kind of running stuff through you more than they have. And especially for a non-point guard, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm starting to think I might want to go Jalen Johnson over Franz as well. But again, this is my favorite award to talk about because it's most of the time the least cut and dry. Like, you can make the case for Dyson Daniels, like we mentioned. I think RJ Barrett could be in the discussion. And also one of my favorite values is probably Christian Brown. He's played really well for them. I don't know where they'd be without him, honestly. So, and that's a clear, like, he's just played better. Like, he's playing more minutes, obviously, but he's been one of the three best players, which is pretty much telling why Denver isn't the contender we thought they'd be, but he's played well too. So I like the Jalen Johnson call, but I think Tyler Hero was like, where is he?
Let's see.
Plus 4,000.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like some decent value there. Again, like I said,
he's behind guys like Ty Jerome.
I was going to say your boy.
Scottie Pippen's interesting, but he's behind like Suggs, Koulibaly, like Jaden Ivey. Like Hero's been like, nobody talks about Miami because they're either really good or they're just in the middle of the league and they don't have an exciting offense. But Tyler Hero has been awesome this season. Mm-hmm. So shout out Tyler Hero, because I have been pretty low on him for a while before the season, but he's looked really good.
I would take Tyler Hero, especially at that number, over guys like Jakob Poeltl at 2,500, RJ Barrett at plus 2,000.
Respectfully, like, what is Jakob Poeltl doing there?
I mean, they're 7-15, man. And again, like, it's by design. This is a year where Poeltl came out before the season and said, you know, we're playing for development really this year. But, like, I don't know, man. I don't know how those guys are possibly above. Even some of the names in between there, like Brandon Miller.
And that's Scottie one that Pippen could really spike with LaMelo out for the next couple weeks. Like, Brandon Miller could really spike.
Absolutely. But again, for me, it's Jalen Johnson. If I had a vote, it's Jalen Johnson. If I was putting money down at plus 700, I think that continues. And if the Hawks finish above 500, I think he's got a good chance to take home that award. Let's move on to sixth man. And I think this one, the least exciting to discuss, maybe between that and defensive player of the year, but Peyton Pritchard minus 250 here. Then you have to jump all the way down to 14-1 for Jared McCain and Amen Thompson. I know both of us have Peyton Pritchard here, so I think it can be a pretty simple discussion. What do you add on the Boston Celtics Sixth Man of the Year candidate?
It's been one of the most efficient shooters in the league. Every time I look at a box score for Boston, this guy has like 23 to 27 points.
Yep.
I know, like, oh, he's got all the talent around him, but like, he's been too good. Like, I think there's players that can give him a little bit of a run for his money down the stretch of the season or halfway through, but at this point, it's not really close. But, you know, I'll be keeping an eye on Ty Jerome.
Yeah, but of course. I mean, Peyton Pritchard up 6 minutes per game this season compared to last, almost four more attempts from the field, 4.1 more attempts from three, career high 42.8% from three, career high 49% from the field, 16.5 points per game. He was at 9.6 last year, which was his previous career high. Where's Peyton Pritchard on most improved?
I was literally about to say, you could make the case he could win both awards.
Yeah, yeah, but I think the runaway right now for Sixth Man of the Year, and I think something would have to fundamentally change with Boston and how their success has panned out so far this season.
Yeah.
Pretty much in line with our expectations.
Who did you say was second?
We've got McCain and Amen Thompson tied.
McCain's been starting recently, though, right? So it's like.
Well, recently. I think over the course of the full season, he has come
I think
much more than not.
Depending on what Golden State's rotation looked like, I think the player with the best chance to win this award might be Buddy.
Sure, yeah. And Buddy is tied for fourth there with DeAndre Hunter, who hasn't really played. So again,
yeah.
I think some of these names indicate how wide of a gap there is between Pritchard and the rest of the field. Amen Thompson, to me, would be a very clear second with how good he's been off the bench for Houston and how good Houston has been overall.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Coach of the Year here. Your boy is the favorite, Kenny Atkinson, minus 120. It's got to be your pick, right?
These are the rules. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them. If you start 15-0, you get to be Coach of the Year on December 5th.
At the quarter season mark.
Those are the rules. I don't make them. No, I think this is a really good one, too, because Udoka, I think I have him and Kenny so close because nobody thought Houston would be second in the West. Granted, some teams are underperforming, but the Rockets have overperformed, so it really doesn't matter. Defensively, how they've changed, the depth they have, but 15-0 start. And I understand, like, the Cavs pretty much have the same continuity. Like, they added Ty Jerome, and that's really kind of it. So it's not like he's rebuilding this new team, but he's getting the best out of them, and he's changed what the spacing on this team is way better. And let's give Kenny Atkinson some credit with Ty Jerome because they were together in Golden State, and Ty Jerome looks like one of the best role players in the NBA right now. I think Kenny Atkinson probably has a lot to do with that. Mobley is not becoming this like sharpshooter by any means, but he's getting more out of him offensively, and they're running more sets through him offensively, and the offenses look better. Yeah, if I wasn't a Cavs fan, maybe I would be a little bit less biased, but also just like, dude, they're 19-3. He started 15-0. They're the best record in the NBA. It could change. I do like some of the value of the other coaches we'll talk about and one of the coaches that you'll talk about, but I got to go. I got to go Cleveland here.
Yeah, and if we were voting today, which that's the exercise, I think the rules you spoke about are – that's what I would follow. But I have a different pick here a little bit further down the board. You mentioned Ime Udoka plus 400. Jamal Mosley at 10-1
yep.
is third. But I'm going to the coach that is seventh on the list of odds on DK Sportsbook. That is Taylor Jenkins at plus 2200. And let me make the case for you. Now, I talked about
You don't have
Memphis.
To for me.
Sure. I talked about Memphis on Monday's episode in Stock Up, right? Talking about staying afloat. We talked about Mosley and his Orlando Magic as well during that segment, but the Grizzlies, you know, lost to the Mavs the other night on Tuesday, but they're still 14-8, a plus 8.1 point differential, which is second best in the West and fourth best in the entire NBA, 7-3 in their last 10 games. Look, man, let me ask you this. Total minutes played for the Grizzlies this year, can you name the top five? Let's see how many can you name. Total minutes played.
Total minutes.
Yes.
Triple J.
He is in there. He's number two.
Is Laravia in there?
Laravia is number five.
That's what I thought. This is where it gets tough. Scottie Pippen?
Scottie Pippen is number four.
It's not Edie. It's not Ja. It's not Bane.
You can think rookie. It's not Edie.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I know it's not Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
So how many do I have left? Two?
Two. One and three in terms of total minutes.
Drawing a blank right now. Dude, their team is so deep that I'm just missing players.
Exactly. That's part of my point. Santi Aldama leads this team in total minutes. Third, the rookie, 39th overall pick, Jalen Wells, 14-8 with Ja Morant, 8th in total minutes, Desmond Bain, 6th in total minutes, Zach Edey, 10th, Marcus Smart, 12th. Like, this is a masterful job so far from Coach Jenkins. So, again, I think it is totally fair to say this should be, if we were voting today, that this should be Coach Atkinson's award to lose. Obviously, he's the favorite. But I wanted to give love to Coach Jenkins because, to me, that is far and away the best value on the board. Because, look, let's just say, I think it's fair to suggest that Memphis, if they can stay healthy, right, they're still missing G.G. Jackson. Zach Edey is out. Vince Williams is out, right? If they can get and stay healthy, and the most three most important guys, of course, are Bane and Triple J and Ja Morant, 14-8 now, but if they get better throughout the remaining 70-75% of the season, they're already tied for third in the West. Like,
dude, I told you this on Monday. I think they're the second best team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, you did say that on Monday's episode. So again, Taylor Jenkins right now, I think, is pretty darn good value in the betting market, but I will, even though I picked Jenkins here on our rundown, I will say Kenny Atkinson absolutely deserving. Anything else for you on the awards here a quarter of the way through the season?
Nope. I love the Jenkins call. I also did want to shout out Jamal Mosley. That team, we thought they would be barely staying afloat without Paolo, and they've ripped off some win streaks, and they're playing really well. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, some games we're eyeing ending the week and headed into the weekend tonight on Thursday. Jokic at Mobley. I know you're tuning into that one, Adam. I also think Rockets and Golden State, a little bit of the shine off that one with no Steph and no Draymond tonight. But that's a little bit of a preview. Maybe these teams sitting guys down so as not to show too much on film for their knockout game next week on Friday. Decent-sized slate. Not a ton of games as a third-party viewer am I excited about, but I will tune in to Bucks at Celtics on Saturday. It's a very Cavs weekend. And let me explain why I said Cavs at Hornets is the game I want to watch on Saturday, Adam. That is because that is a 1 p.m. Eastern start. So that's how I can start my day watching sports. Then I'm going to watch the MLS Cup Final at 4 p.m. Eastern. And also, of course, Texas and Georgia in the SEC Championship. So I'm going to get my NBA fix early on Saturday.
Do you know, obviously, I think you have it in front of you. Did the Cavs play on Sunday too? Or Friday?
Let me see. I've got.
Is that Charlotte game part of a back-to-back at all?
I don't believe so. Actually, it is. It is the front end.
Donovan Mitchell will not play in that game. I'm calling it right now.
At Charlotte? Because he's going to play in South Beach on Sunday?
Donovan Mitchell will not play on Saturday. I'm calling that right now. The last time they played Charlotte, or no, I think it was Charlotte, Mitchell sat on a back-to-back when LaMelo was out. No, LaMelo was in, and they still sat him. And now, no, I think he's going to sit that game. Somebody's sitting in that game, in my opinion.
I think that is a good call. On Sunday, outside of Cavs and Heat, which we know Adam will be tuned into, even on his NFL Sunday, we've got Wolves at Warriors, and then we've got Rockets at Clippers. Let's close it out with a little stock up, stock down here. On episode 27, Adam, where are you going for stock down?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to him with most improved, but RJ Barrett's played really well for Toronto. He's had a lot of these like 28 to 35 real point games. He's hitting some tough shots when I'm watching back the Toronto games. They've actually been more enjoyable to watch than I thought. Agbaji plays hard. Like, they're playing really hard. 7-15, I think, is the record. But obviously, Barnes and Barrett have done most of the heavy lifting. But I've been pretty impressed with how RJ Barrett's looked. So I like to kind of shout out, for the most part, some of the less talked about teams and players. So I like what I've seen from RJ Barrett lately.
So the stock up for RJ Barrett. My stock up, we talked about him a little bit already, the Atlanta Hawks on the 5-game win streak now, over 500 and into the knockout rounds of the NBA Cup. For a team that a few weeks ago, again, did not have much hope, was very beat up in terms of their injury report, to in terms of staying afloat, like we talked about in this segment on Monday, the Hawks have also certainly done that. So stock up to the Hawks, as much as it pains me with my favorite team owning their unprotected first next year. They are doing everything they need to at this point. We'll close it out on the low notes here. Who's got your stock down on episode 27?
It's got to be the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost, what, 6 of the last 8?
I believe so.
They just lost by 40.
6 of their last 10, for sure. Yeah.
They just lost by 40 to Miami.
Yep.
There's clips of them on defense just not even trying. Then what JJ Redick said that they were going to reevaluate something or something the other day. Like it looked like it was going to be a pretty good season early on, and then it's completely fallen off. So I talked about it a lot. Like, this team was always going to need some sort of trade to really be a contender, but the struggle is real right now for this team. What's their overall record? 12-10 after a really promising start. Still, the record overall is fine, but the play lately has been concerning.
I mean, they're a half game from being outside looking in of the play-in. And 2 weeks ago, I think it was episode 23 or 24, when Mike and I were talking about, are the Clippers actually good? The flip side of that in LA for us was, is the Lakers start a mirage? And my answer was yes, and I think that has continued to play out very slowly for this team, and in a big way last night, right, on a big stage. LeBron going back to Miami, of course, we're always going to have eyes on that.
Tyler Hero had a huge game, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely run off the court.
I've become the Tyler Hero fan somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah. Tyler Hero whisperer here.
Legit, like, Adam. Don't remember really ever talking about him on any sort of podcast. And all of a sudden, he's just been really good. But yeah, they need to fix some stuff for sure.
My stock down here to close out episode 27 is the Detroit Pistons crowd on Tuesday night, Adam. Like, okay, we get to lock. DFS late locks, we've got our picks in and the prop market, everything like that. Turn on Bucks and Pistons, and not only did that game get out of hand very quickly, for a must-win game, right? And I know that not everybody enjoys the NBA Cup as much as you and I do, and not everybody gets excited for that type of game, but like, I don't know, man, if I was a Pistons fan in that area, I know the tickets weren't that expensive to a Pistons game at this point of the year. And this is the first, like, real meaningful game that the Pistons have had in how many years? Like, half a decade? Like, similar to how I was feeling with my Spurs on the same night. Dude, that arena was maybe 45% full. It made me feel bad, and I don't have a dog in the Detroit Pistons franchise at all. Like, I'm not a fan, but, like, it was kind of a letdown for me to see the packed crowd, of course, at MSG for that game. Even in Phoenix, right? Where there's plenty of other things to be doing at this time of the year than watching Spurs and Suns. That was a sellout. That was a packed house. And, like, the Detroit crowd just really let me down, because the Detroit crowd, when they have things to cheer for, to me, is one of the best crowds in the league. When the team gives them something to cheer for, I thought the team, to that point, had done so. 3-0 in their group play to set up this win and get in situation against Milwaukee. And the fans did not show up, and they certainly did not show out. So stock down to the Pistons crowd for being absent in the biggest game for the club in many, many years.
I mean, worst case, you live in the area, but you don't like the Pistons. Just go watch Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So that's our stock down here on episode 27. And that'll wrap up today's episode of the FTN Fast Break Podcast. Anything else for you, Adam, before we shut it down?
No, I am excited for some more hoops this weekend. I'm excited to tonight. I got, you know, Jokic, Mobley, Cavs. Mm-hmm. I got Thursday night football. Again, Thursday's quickly becoming one of my favorite days of the week. So pretty chill right now.
Absolutely. Well, appreciate you tuning in, sticking with us here in episode 27. I'm back with Mike Randall on Monday for another episode of the FTN Fast Break Podcast. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll do the same. We'll see you back here on Monday. Till then, he is Adam, and I'm Zach. Goodbye.